Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, starting to read at verse 31. We're in Egypt with Pharaoh, and he's in a bit of a tiz. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night and said, "Rise up, go away from my people, both of you, and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord, as you said. Take your flocks and your herds, as you said, and be gone. And bring a blessing on me too." The Egyptians urged the people to hasten their departure from the land, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The Israelites had done as Moses told them. They had asked the Egyptians for jewelry of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. And so they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed crowd also went up with them, and livestock in great numbers, both flocks and herds. They baked the unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt. It was not leavened because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. Bread. In these health-conscious, allergy-aware days, it can be rather difficult to talk about bread. But here goes. Way back when I used to work in a factory, for supper, most days of the week, quite late in the evening, I would have a pint of full cream Jersey milk, cold, straight from the fridge, a big chunk of cheddar cheese, half a Spanish onion, and a thickly buttered hank of soft, crusty bread. I didn't have many girlfriends in those days. You will perhaps have seen the matzos that we are using from time to time in the Last Supper storytelling. The unleavened, the unyeasted, flat bread that is so central to the Jewish Passover. Not very appetizing, but that's the point. In Exodus, we heard it in the story, the bread was unleavened. It was without yeast because the Israelites had to leave Egypt in a hurry and didn't have time to make bread. Forever after, it is amongst the Jewish people to be remembered. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. The festival of unleavened bread with the Passover, the great Jewish festival of remembering and commemorating the how and the why God had saved them from captivity in Egypt. Bread, the staff of life. Just about anywhere in the world, bread plays a central part. A few weeks ago on holiday in Thailand, we ate out quite often, because it's quite cheap to eat out. And in this tourist everywhere, area, just about everywhere we went, alongside the wonderful pad Thai and Thai green curry and red curry and Massaman curries and all the rest, on just about every menu there was garlic bread. They've obviously recognised that Western tourists might be brave enough to try some of the local food. We always ask for it with just a little spice. It still blew the top off your head. And I drew the line at the deep-fried locusts. But they recognised that we might well be prepared to eat the food as long as there was something familiar and delicious available as well. Bread. We have to be careful, and we do try to cater for gluten-free and wheat-free diets. At our midweek communion service every month, we use a gluten-free loaf. It's okay. Not sure I could manage a whole one, but there you go. But then again, I'm not sure that these days I could manage to get through one of those artery-clogging factory suppers. Bread, a worldwide sign of fullness and sufficiency and actually of abundance. What was it they attributed to Marie Antoinette? Majesty, the poor have no bread. What is she supposed to have replied? Let them eat cake. Like we do here often, thanks to Rachel's good offices. And bread, too, this morning at communion. And whether you take a square, or one of the gluten-free pieces, or, you know, tear the loaf to try and get a little bit off and then spend the rest of the service trying to chew your way through a great big thick of piece of crust, we shall break bread. Never mind Jamie Oliver. Never mind Master Chef. Never mind caramelized pork belly, beetroot jam, raspberry juice. Never mind a dine-in for two ready meal, chicken tikka masala with all the accompaniments. We are poor in spirit, lowly in the eyes of the world. We are hungry for the things of God. Give us bread. No surprise that Jesus speaks of bread as a sign of the kingdom. Remember, we've come across this often enough before. Not so much about what the kingdom actually is or where it is, but what it is like. It is like a mustard seed. We shall come back to that in a couple of weeks' time. It is like a place for little children. It is like a sower sowing seed. It is like new wine. It is like a banquet. It is like, not bread actually, but yeast, leaven. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 3 measures, 60-odd pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough, like yeast. We had a bread-making machine once, but all I ever managed to turn out of it looked like a brick. And you know what they say, don't you? If it looks like a brick, and it feels like a brick, and it tastes like a brick, well, then it is a brick. I guess it was a failure on my part properly to use yeast, the live culture, to let it rise through the whole of the flower till you've got something soft on the outside, on the inside, crusty on the outside, golden and white and tasty. I can almost taste that factory supper now. Lashings of butter and bread. Yeast. The kingdom of God isn't like bread, it's like yeast. What does that mean? It is slow, it is all pervasive, it is unstoppable. You only need a small amount to start with. It works its way all through. That's the kingdom of God. That's the power of the kingdom of God. Today in our world, power is vast sums of money. It is adoring supporters hanging on their heroes' every word. It is missiles. I was reading about the latest missiles this week. Apparently they can target a plane at 200 miles distant. It is about culture. The power of some over the powerlessness of others. The power of a male-dominated society over the powerlessness of women. The power of the rich who organize things for themselves against the powerless of the poor who can't afford much of anything. Marie Antoinette again. The poor have no bread, no power. Let them eat cake. Go whistle for it. That, I think, is the appeal of Trump, Orban. Sorry if that all sounds a little bit too much like Jeremy Corbyn, because power in this world is also earthquake and tsunami kinds of power. It is an unpredictable, unstoppable onslaught of mud and water and vibration. That's power. Unstoppable, destroying all in its path, serving the interests only of a few. It's not what the kingdom of God is like, though. The power of the kingdom of God is like yeast, a small amount of decency working its way through, a smidgen of fairness spreading through, a dollop of goodness dripping into every cranny of your lives and of our world. And all the missiles, all the rhetoric, all the politics, all the sexual dominance in the world can't stand against such power. Nor, please God, in the final analysis, can earthquakes. But did you notice how much flour? 3 measures. About 60 pounds, 27 kilos roughly, enough to feed over 100 people, to feed them with good, rustic, soft, yielding, crusty, warm bread. What on earth was a Galilean housewife doing with 60 pounds of flour? She must have been preparing one hell of a party. Perhaps she had heard the cry of the poor, "We have no bread." That's what the kingdom of God is like. Enormous, out of all proportion. My cup runneth over. We have life in abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the power of the kingdom, unstoppable, all-consuming, working its good, beautiful, peaceable way into every life, every heart, every nook, every cranny. That's what the power of God's kingdom is like. And when they look back and remember, they remember unleavened bread, bread without yeast, flat, unappetizing, empty. A bit like the death of Jesus, a tragedy made of the things of earth. The how and the why of how we are saved by God. But when we who are poor in spirit turn from the powers of the world, hungry for justice, starving for the life of God's kingdom, for the things of God, we see the table. This is my body, this bread that we break, the body of Christ. Something warm and appetizing and wealth welcoming and life-giving and eternal, working its way into every corner, even the very darkest corners of our world and our lives. So when we say we who are poor in spirit, we have no bread,